St. Gabriel Cafe, your sacred space to sip on today's local blend of faithful encouragement.
Let's start our day together.
Good morning. Come on in, pull up a chair. I'm Dave Orsborn.
And I'm Amanda Miller, friends, and we are ecstatic to have you here with us in the St. Gabriel Cafe, our live and local morning show.
Good morning, Cam.
Good morning.
We have a full show today. Joining us in the first half hour will be Monica Flynn, the executive director of Mommies Matter, to talk with us about this ministry and how she was inspired to get it started. And then in the second half hour, Kathy Yohani will be with us to talk about Catechesis of the Good Shepherd, a method of spiritual formation for little ones aged 3 to 12. Good morning, Amanda.
Good morning, Dave.
It starts with a prayer.
Yes, in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Lord, we praise you and we thank you for another day. We thank you for your goodness and for your blessings and all the graces and all the ways that you are sustaining us, loving us, drawing us deeper and closer to you. Lord, we ask that specifically in these last times of Lent that you just help us with greater perseverance, not to just be faithful to our Lenten practices, but to remember what matters most, which is drawing closer to you. And no matter wherever we're at in our Lenten practices, that as long as we have hearts aflame for you, then we are drawing closer to you. Lord, instill this in us and help us to just have greater faith and greater belief and greater conviction, greater love.
For all those who have asked for our prayer and intercession, we lift them up to you, Lord. We ask all this through the intercession of Mary, and in the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
Amen.
How are you this morning?
Oh, well, I'm excited to be going to Bishop Hartley today.
What's going on at Bishop Hartley today?
Yeah, so we have the opportunity to record the bishop with the students from the Catholic schools in the neighborhood. And we're going to be having a forum with the bishop. And so we'll do that today. And then we'll have the recording that you can listen to on Monday, March 25th at 7 a.m. and 4 p.m.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Restoring a good old tradition that we had here at St. Gabriel Radio. We did it. We were trying to figure it out yesterday. I think we did 9 or 10 high school forums with Bishop Campbell. And then Bishop Brennan was able to do one with us. And now this will be the first for Bishop Fernandez. And big thanks to Bishop Hartley for hosting us. So, yeah. I'm excited for it. Mm-hmm. We'll also have podcasts available on Monday. So if you're not able to listen to the broadcast at 7 or 4 on Monday, you can also listen to it on your favorite podcast app, which should be
St. Gabriel Radio.
That's it.
Did you do anything special to celebrate St. Joseph last night? Do you have cake?
No.
Ice cream? Anything, Dave?
No.
Cam, did you?
Yeah, we did. My wife made a cake. It was like
blew it. What kind of cake did she make?
I'm not actually sure. So here's the thing. I'm not a baker. The cake had strawberries in it, and that was yummy.
Strawberry cake?
But it wasn't strawberry cake. It had it was just like a cake.
With strawberries.
With strawberries. Yes. Right.
That sounds nice.
I wouldn't call it a strawberry cake.
Has Bailey texted you?
No,
yet?
Not yet.
Okay, she will. She will. Did you have dessert?
I did. I went out to get Mexican food, and then, of course, I ordered flan. So, yeah, that was fun.
I can't believe I blew it.
What did you eat for dinner, Dave?
I don't know. It had strawberries. No. we had a burger and sweet potato fries.
Okay. See, that sounds festive.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Well, I got up to do a morning prayer this morning. I was, opened up the Divine Office app and it said, the solemnity of Saint Joseph. So, you know, a moment of freak out it's like, oh no, did we do the wrong show yesterday? Rather than doubting the app, I doubted Cam.
Oh. Sorry, you didn't get to celebrate as deeply yesterday, Dave.
I'll make it up today.
Or Sunday, whatever.
And you made it down to St. Joseph Cathedral for Mass.
I did. I have a love for St. Joseph for sure. And so I wanted to make sure to celebrate in the best way by going to Mass. And there's a relic of St. Joseph's cloak. So I got to venerate St. Joseph's cloak. And they had special blessing oil from Montreal. And so we received a blessing at the end of Mass. So it was very nice.
Exceptional. Yeah. And Bishop Fernandez was the celebrant. So very good. Very good. You want to take a look at today's gospel?
Yes.
So this is from... it's Wednesday, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, good. From John chapter 8, verses 31 to 42.
Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, "If you remain in my word, you will truly be my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are descendants of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How can you say you will become free?" Jesus answered them, "Amen, amen, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave of sin. A slave does not remain in a household forever, but a son always remains. So if the Son sets you free, then you will be truly free. I know that you are descendants of Abraham, but you are trying to kill me, because my word has no room among you. I tell you what I have seen in the Father's presence, and then do what you have heard from the Father." Jesus answered and said, or they answered and said to Jesus, "Our father is Abraham." Jesus said to them, "If you were Abraham's children, you would be doing the works of Abraham. But now you are trying to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. You are doing the works of your father." So they said to him, "We were not born of fornication. We have one father, God." And Jesus said to them, "If God were your father, you would love me. For I came from God and am here. I did not come on my own, but he sent me." Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Cam. Amanda, what stood out for you?
So many things. But the first thing right off the bat there, "If you remain in my word, you will truly be my disciples." And I think hopefully this is just a conviction of just a greater need to dive into scripture and to truly be his disciple is to remain in his word. And his word, we receive that from the gospels. And so just a greater conviction to make sure that I'm feeding myself daily with his word. And then, of course, he continues, Jesus answered them, "Amen, amen, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin." And so I think especially with Lent on our mind and the desire to be close to our Lord, just remembering that the Lenten season is the opportunity to dive deeper into, Lord, where have I fallen short of my relationship with you? Where am I not listening to you? And what things are keeping me from that deeper relationship with you? And so, this again is just another conviction of what am I a slave to that is not setting me free in the freedom that Christ offers.
We got an amen, amen.
Amen, amen.
Like that big flashing light whenever you see an amen, amen. Take notice. Everyone who commits sin is a slave of sin. But then also what stood out to me, the word remain. I think I counted three times that it's in this passage. Mm-hmm. Remain in the word. And then, the slave remains in sin. But a son always remains.
Yeah. We've been talking about that a lot also in the cafe lately.
How about that?
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking yesterday too with St. Joseph. So attentive to the Father's voice,
mm-hmm.
or through the angels. and how, you know, the word remain or abide, you know, comes up. And he was so attentive that that led to trust and obedience and then to action. And it's having those things in the right order, you know, to being attentive, to hearing God's voice, and then acting on what the Lord is asking. Mm-hmm. So, great passage. Amen, amen.
Amen, amen.
Cam, what do you got?
Every time I read this passage, I think it stirs something deep down inside me that's like, this, I don't want to be a slave, you know?
Right.
You know, clearly that's a bad thing. And I think even the Jews that Jesus was speaking to were like trying to figure out how to justify it. Like, no, we're not. We promise. And how often I do that in my life too, of looking at the Lord and saying, no, Lord, I promise I'm not a slave. And then he, with his, you know, loving gaze, is like, Cam, get to confession, right? or Cam,
yeah.
I love you so much. And you know, constantly freeing me from the sins that I turn back to is one way I think the Lord really loves us in the Catholic Church, especially through the sacraments, and one that I love to take advantage of too. And so I think for me, it's always just like a moment for me to recognize in my sin, I am still at home with the Lord. He talks about that. Like, you know, a slave is not welcome at home forever, but a son remains at home. And he's reminding me that even though, yes, I do struggle with different sins, I'm in need of confession, I'm in need of his mercy, just like we all are. The Lord in his mercy even still calls me son and still welcomes me in his home. And that's just awesome.
Mm.
So I am not a slave.
No,
truly.
You're freed.
Free indeed. And
free every day even more.
Nice.
Amen, amen.
Amen, amen. Has Bailey texted you yet?
No.
No.
Bummer.
Come on, Bailey.
Really want to know that, Kate.
I do. Well, thank you, guys. That was very nice. Joining us now by phone, we have Monica Flynn, Executive Director of Mommies Matter. Good morning, Monica.
Good morning, Dave and Amanda and Cam. It's so good to join you guys. I would have much preferred to be in the cafe with you, sharing a cup of coffee, but this will do, right? Maybe next time.
Absolutely. Next time. We'll have a virtual cup of Joe.
There you go.
Well, yeah, thanks for making time for us. Let's talk first about what Mommies Matter is, and then I want to hear your story about how you came to found this ministry.
Sure. Absolutely. More than anything else, Mommies Matter is community. And just as I was listening to you guys discussing today's passage and being slave to sin, and, you know, it's through our community that we share our experiences and we learn from each other and grow, ultimately growing closer to the Lord. And Mommies Matter stemmed from many years of my work on a local hotline for a local pregnancy center, PDHC.
Hmm.
And for over a decade, I'm taking these phone calls as a young mother myself, and felt very burdened that we need to be doing more as a community for these women that find themselves in a pregnant state, and they have no healthy, loving community, which is why they're calling this hotline. I know yesterday obviously was the Feast of St. Joseph, and he was able to discern and trust, and like you just said, Dave, in the right order, trust, obedience, and action. I feel like the Lord, it was more of a slow burn for me. I don't know that I heard him right away, but I think in his time, he created Mommies Matter over my lifetime of my volunteerism on this hotline. But at the same time, I have an engineering degree. I was never fulfilled with that work. I was in the military, but I remember taking a sign language class with my mom. She was a physical therapist for the Ohio State School for the Blind, and she would have deafblind students. And I must have taken a class when I was 8 or 9. And when our youngest of 5 went to kindergarten, I enrolled in some classes, and learned sign language, became an interpreter. I interpreted for a woman getting her master's at OSU.
Wow.
Then ended up meeting a deaf man who worked for Children's Services. So as I'm volunteering on the hotline, I'm now in the hilltop and in our world of poverty and brokenness, and the clients that we're seeing during the day, you know, just in Central Ohio, Linden, you know, I've been in every prison in Ohio, and then I'm taking calls at night. God really burdened me with, where is their community? Where is a place for them to, you know, they only know what they know. And and many of these women are, they're not, you know, many times people will call a crisis pregnancy. A pregnancy is never a crisis. It's a woman that might be in crisis that becomes pregnant. When we just had the tornado, with an emergency, or with a crisis, we respond with an emergency action. But with a chronic issue and, you know, unplanned pregnancies are more of a chronic happening. And we need to dig deep into and develop those individuals that are facing this chronic getting pregnant over and over and over again. What void are they trying to fill? Or maybe for whatever reason they're getting pregnant, but they don't have that support. We as a community need to be that support. So we welcome these women in. Many of them may still be discerning if they want to carry the baby to term. A woman will, abort a child 80% of the time because of a lack of financial resources or a lack of emotional support. And that's what Mommy's Matter is. So, it's easier to just pay bills. It's much more difficult to get in relationship, to build that trust with these women, and to ultimately for them to get to know the Lord through just our community, our loving community. So that's kind of how, you know, it all came to be. It was over, for me, a lifetime. As I look back and see how my daily yeses of working on the hotline and then happened to take a, you know, sign language, and then happening to meet this deaf man who works for Children's Services, and then happening to, you know, to become his designated interpreter. It was all the Lord, his hand was in all of it.
Lots of providential moments there.
Definitely, for sure, yeah.
We're speaking with Monica Flynn, the executive director of Mommy's Matter right here in Columbus. With the pregnancy help centers, how did you make that that step, though, from working on a telephone helpline to actually getting involved personally in these women's lives?
I think what I shared about having to do more just resonated with so many people. Until then, to get involved in the pro-life movement, you pretty much had to be a pregnancy center counselor or work on the hotline like I did, or be a donor, obviously, which is huge, or be more of the office manager. You couldn't really walk with these women per se, just the way we've been. And I really didn't want to reinvent the wheel. And before I started Mommy's Matter, maternity homes, we don't really have those in Columbus. And so that's what I began to really explore, is how can we walk with these women who are so alone? And me sharing that, so many people, there's everything that you do in your everyday life, you know, we need volunteers. So whether it's, men with trucks, women with trucks, these women are moving. If you know how to hook up a dryer or hang some curtains, to babysitting, to caring for these newborn babies, to giving her, accompanying her to an appointment if she's got many other children, mechanics, their cars are breaking down. Just in every way that you would be there for a neighbor, a friend, a daughter, who's having a child and is alone. We have all been touched by single parenthood, whether we ourselves have been a single parent or we know somebody. That health of that family unit, her family unit or his, as a single dad, is directly correlated to their support system. And so me sharing that, we were able to, we meet at a local church in the Easton area. I shared our ministry, our mission with him, and we have keys, you know, to use his space. It's just talking with people. The Lord has really just sent people our way that I share what we do, and we are able to just do what we do. And we have over 150 to 200 volunteers that make Mommy's Matters community. And I think the most beautiful thing is the mothers themselves, they become then their own community within our Mommy's Matter community. They're no longer feeling alone. They can see somebody else that is faced with the same challenges and hardships that they are as a single parent. And so they exchange numbers, and then they meet outside the times that we gather together. So it's just talking. I've had to, the Lord has stretched me, and I've learned if somebody says you need to talk to somebody, I talk to somebody, and he has just really grown Mommy's Matter over the last 5 years.
Life is better when we do it together, right?
Absolutely. One body, many parts, right?
Amen.
Actually, Monica, in talking about Mommy's Matter, before you started sharing, I was wondering, well, what does maybe it look like one day with Mommy's Matter? And so you shared a lot. Well, really, it's about community, and it's really everything that you would see as just being a good neighbor. And then you also mentioned your times of gathering. So what would that look like?
So we gather twice a month or more. We call them our enrichment gatherings. Before COVID, they were we would do it two times in person. Since COVID, or once COVID hit, we were meeting weekly. Virtually, because they were really then feeling alone. And since then, there's pros and cons to both being in community in person and then also in community virtually. We bring in guest speakers, and sometimes the topics, one that screams is being post-abortive. Many of our women have had an abortion experience. And I would bring in a speaker that, again, we have Bethesda and abortion recovery at PDHC. When I would bring people in to speak on that topic, when we did it virtually, the room exploded, the little chat room. And so they felt much safer, I think, to share their experience virtually as opposed to in person. So we meet twice a month, again, once in person and then once virtually. And then many months we gather just kind of for a fun event. This Saturday we have our Easter egg hunt with the Easter bunny. And just, you know, outside we'll have about 60 little kiddos and about 600 eggs. And it really balances those heavy enrichment talks. And those talks are meant to not, again, duplicate services. So the parenting classes that maybe Women's Care Center or PDHC or Moms-to-Be, some secular parenting classes are out there. We will definitely partner with them. Our talks will be much more faith-based. They don't have to be a Christian to be in Mommy's Matter, but I do let them know that we are faith-based, and the speakers more often than not share their testimony of what life was like before they entered a relationship with Christ and what it has been since then. whether it was women that have been trafficked or domestic violent relationships or whatever, life is very hard. But when we get to know the Lord, we know that he has a plan for us and we can lean into him a little bit more. So that's the message that they're going to get. Whether it's forgiveness or boundaries, because again, a lot of people in their world, there's not a whole lot of healthy relationships. And they don't know what they don't know. They may not know what a healthy, loving relationship looks like. So our community allows them to see that and to know that there is another way and how to make healthier life choices.
Mm-hmm. That's so beautiful, Monica. And, I'm struck by just the community aspect of it and really the intentionality of walking with the Lord and healing coming from that. Do you have any maybe testimony or story that you can share with us through an experience that a woman has had?
There are so many. One of the very, very first mothers that came through our doors She was pregnant with, I believe it was her third. She was involved, had an open case with FCCS, that's Franklin County Children's Services. And she was an exotic dancer. She had to put food on the table. And it was the quickest way and to make the most money in the shortest amount of time. And we welcomed her and loved her. And the more she continued, you know, it takes a lot of time, again, in developing them or to build that trust. As she continued, she then, so they're paired with what we call our allies. Basically, their mentors, or they really become their friend. That's who's with them when they're having the baby. That's who's with them after the baby's born. If she's sick, they're, you know, the allies are become her sister, her friend, her mother. So she started calling her ally, just saying, "I just don't think I can do this anymore." You could see the Lord really transforming her heart, and she was post-abortive. And I remember in one of our gatherings, her sharing how she could never be Catholic because they taught that that's killing a baby and she would go to hell. And so in that opportunity, it was so beautiful because we now have known her for at least a year to speak that truth, that she is forgiven. And so it was a safe space for her to be able to share questions or doubts. But anyhow, so she, as she's, you know, continuing in our community and getting close to her allies, and she's calling her ally to say, I just don't think I can do this anymore. I don't want to do this anymore. We, you know, well, then what do you want to do? And it was, she would like to go to phlebotomy school. So Mommy's Matter helped pay for phlebotomy school. Mm-hmm. And then that just, and then you could see her carry herself a little bit higher and that with dignity. And then she then wanted to pursue nursing school. And so it was, okay, we're going to help you get, you know, through nursing school. And over the course of these 1, then 2, then 3 years, now 4 or 5 years out, she's now in a healthy, loving relationship and they have another child. She graduated Dean's List nursing school and just has never looked back. So it was loving her for, you know, again, a long time, as long as she needed to feel safe for her then to open up for her, the Lord. And again, we don't do it. It's the Lord that's doing it through us.
Amen.
But them feeling his love and then that dignity and that worth. And then her just, she had to do the hard work, but Mommy's Matter is determined to break down whatever barrier is holding her or them back from becoming that wonderful woman that God created them to be.
Mm. Monica Flynn, the executive director of Mommy's Matter. You know, these situations, these women are never projects or problems to be solved, right? I mean, they're friendships and if just from that story, these are friendships that endure. And I imagine that with each woman that you're serving, your community just gets larger.
It completely gets larger. I just got a text message, in fact, yesterday from a mom that, and I don't say graduated because once you're in this community, you're always a part of our family. But, and we have a picnic reunion every summer, so they're all invited back. But their lives evolve and continue, and they perhaps move or whatever. But she reached out and said, I'm really struggling. And because, again, you know, she's a single mother now of a 5-year-old and a 12-year-old. Hardships never, you know, go away on this side of heaven. But they know that they can always come back or they can always reach out. And we're always here for them. And then there's the other one, the dancer, that ally, they're basically part of the, you know, they see each other often and celebrations and all that kind of stuff. So all of our relations vary with each mommy, just as all of our relationships vary with each of our kids. But it's, we're always here for them and they know that. Is it Maya Angelou that said, you know, people will always forget what you said or what you did, but they'll never forget how you made them feel. Mm. And that is, we really, these women, it's at the end of the day, have they felt loved? And if they have, then we're doing the Lord's work. So that's our goal.
For our friends that are listening who may need help or want to get involved and share and make lives better, what's the next step? How do they contact you?
Whether you would like to volunteer or you're a single pregnant woman in need, just going to our website, mommiesmatter.org, and that's mommiesmatter.org. But on the website, there's a get support button for the mommies that might need it, or if you know somebody that is in need of help, or then just volunteer. We have orientations monthly, I think twice a month. And really, there's whether you like to cook or bake, to babysit, to, you know, fixing cars, we can use you. So
guys can get involved also?
Excuse me?
Guys can get involved as well?
Absolutely. And moving, you know, we've had some landlords that will charge some of these women, you know, $80 to mow a postage stamp size yard. You know, if you like to mow lawns. We definitely encourage men to get involved, and especially the allies, and then her husband and family to begin to, you know, bring these women into their families. It's very important that these women see what a loving relationship is, and what is love, and how should a man, you know, what does that look like in a relationship, as they, you know, hopefully one day will be a family unit, whether with the father of the baby that they reconcile or with another man. But, you know, the Lord did intend a mother and a father to raise our children. It is the breakdown of the family that's the breakdown of our community. So until, you know, that happens for her, if we can be that example for her, it's so important.
Outstanding. The website again, mommiesmatter.org. Monica Flynn, thank you for being with us.
Oh, thank you, Dave and Amanda and Cam. It was a joy, and I appreciate the opportunity to share what the Lord is doing.
Amen. Thanks for being with us, Monica.
Absolutely. Have a great day.
Yeah, hope to see you soon. Coming up in just a minute or two, we're going to be speaking with Kathy Yohani about a really cool program, Catechesis of the Good Shepherd. Stay with us.
Monday, March 25th is a special day for St. Gabriel Radio and our local faith community. It's not only the Monday of Holy Week, it is also a day where you can hear Bishop Fernandez as he discusses the faith with our local Catholic high school students. You don't want to miss this enriching experience. The St. Gabriel Radio High School Student Forum with Bishop Fernandez will air on Monday, March 25th at 7 a.m. and 4 p.m. Be sure to tune in.
Do you have a minute for lasting happiness? Living virtuously is the way to freedom, happiness, and holiness. To grow in virtue, we must learn about it, practice it, and persevere in it. This is what the saints have achieved with excellence. An excellent example of the virtue of docility is seen in Saint Dominic Savio. He lived docility heroically by his willingness to be taught. He recognized the goodness in his teacher, John Bosco, and opened his mind and heart to the Italian priest. Dominic's docility prepared him well to accept the Lord's call to leave this life at the age of only 14. His readiness to welcome grace gained him eternal life. Let us ask St. Dominic Savio to pray for us, that we too may grow in docility. Educate yourself in virtue. Learn more at educationinvirtue.com.
I'm Lori Kroc, and this is a Holy and Healthy Minute. St. John Paul II encourages us to be, quote, strong athletes for Christ who are faithful and courageous witnesses to his gospel. But in our sports-crazed culture, it can be easy to spend more time on athletic pursuits and other hobbies than in nurturing our spiritual lives. So how do we change that? We can gather as a family and ask the Holy Spirit to guide us in making more time for prayer and activities that support our spiritual growth. As we begin to change how we spend our time, we can pray for patience and perseverance, knowing that God's grace is working in us and that true change takes time. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, give us the grace to be strong athletes for Christ first, and to courageously witness to the gospel in both work and play. Amen.
Welcome back, friends, to the St. Gabriel Cafe. I'm Amanda Miller.
I'm Dave Orsborn. We're going to talk about the catechesis of the Good Shepherd next with our friend Kathy Yohani. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning.
Thanks for being here.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
So I've heard of catechesis of the Good Shepherd, but unfortunately, I didn't hear about it until our kids were a little bit older. So this is a formation method for children from about 3 to 12.
Yes.
What do we mean by catechesis and formation?
Yeah, thanks. Catechesis of the Good Shepherd is, as you said, a method of spiritual formation for children, starting as young as 3. And what makes it so beautiful and distinct is that it is grounded in a Catholic anthropology. So a real understanding of the human person, who the human person is.
Yeah. Nice.
Yes.
John Paul II?
So John Paul II. And just that we are embodied, right? Embodied spirits.
So, did you see these faces light up when you said human anthropology?
Who doesn't love him, right? Who doesn't love him?
Not only did your face light up, Dave, you raised your hand.
Yep. All right. You got me from there. All right.
I actually had a little kid yesterday say, JP2, we love you. And I was that's my saying too. But yeah, just grounded in this understanding that we're a unity of body and soul, and especially for children, they need to use their bodies. So kind of the basic idea is what you do with your hands goes to your head, and then over time, what happens in your head goes to your heart, which is really where we want a faith life to be, right? So so we have a lot of hands-on materials. If you walked into a space for Catechesis of the Good Shepherd, it would look kind of like a cross between your living room, so it's kind of cozy and welcoming, and like an interactive museum of the faith. So there would be all these things that children could touch, manipulate, and move that make them think more deeply about the faith. So really grounded in that, but also the Catholic anthropology is an understanding that human beings grow and develop, right? So the face of God that a 3-year-old needs to see is a little different than the face of God that a 6-year-old or a 12-year-old needs to see. So just kind of the adult asks themselves, well, what aspect of this great mystery do I need to present to the child? And then kind of walk with the child on their faith journey.
So very individualized.
It is very individualized. We do, you know, small group lessons. We think about each child as a unique and unrepeatable human person, and we just try to accompany them. But there is also within that this beautiful aspect of community that the children really cut, because we all crave that, right? That's another aspect of Catholic anthropology, is that we're made for communion, right? So even though they're recognized as unique individuals and supported in that, they enjoy this. I almost think it's like a laboratory of Catholic living. You know, they come to enjoy being with friends and being able to talk about these things, pray about these things. There's just, in some ways, I like to think about it as a little mini monastic community, you know, work and prayer.
I love it.
Yeah. Wow, I just got this beautiful image of all these little kids in monastic community.
Yeah. Well, at the end, for our 6 to 12-year-olds, at the end of their session, they actually plan and lead prayer. Mm-hmm. So the adults will sit down with the kids on the floor and they will direct us. They plan out a prayer service, you know, according to whatever elements they want. And then they will lead it. And it's just, so there is this balance of work and prayer.
Come on. Like, it's how awesome. Many adults are still struggling with, I don't know how to really pray. And yet here's these little kids leading prayer.
Yes. We give them all sorts of options, but then as they, you know, for little elements that they can put in here and there. But then as they grow in confidence, they take off and they, you know, they'll say, well, I'll bring in this little reading. Or yesterday, one girl brought out a picture and put it in the little prayer area. And she wrote on a whiteboard, think about this while we're having silence. Children love silence. Can you believe that? But children love to, like, that silent listening prayer. They don't have silence in their lives. So Catechesis of the Good Shepherd is an opportunity for that. I like to describe it as very content rich. but also gentle and inviting. So,
Kathy Iohanni, we're talking about Catechesis of the Good Shepherd. How did you first get involved?
Well, when my children were young, which was quite long ago, I was looking for something really great for them. Just kept looking around, and, you know, when they were young, and I went to the DRE at my church at the time and said, you know, what can I do for my 3, 4, and 5-year-old? Oh, nothing. If you're living a good life, that should be good enough. If you're, you know, and I thought, really? Are you sure there's not something else? And luckily someone introduced me to an atrium that was at St. Andrew's. When I walked in.
What's an atrium?
Oh, sorry. An atrium is the name that we use for the actual space where that that happens. And it comes from the idea in the early church, they would have their church, and there would be what would literally be called an atrium, sort of like a porch area on the outside. So it wasn't the sacred space of the church, but it was removed from the rest of the busyness of the world. And that's where catechumens could have their instruction to enter fully into the church. So taking our cue from that, our foundresses were Italian. So they were very, you know, they knew about all these churches and things that used to be in the ancient world. And so they call this the atrium. So I walked into an atrium at St. Andrew, and I just said, wow, I want this for my children. And so that began a journey of many, many years of studying, becoming formed in this method at all three levels. And then I'm actually nationally certified to form adults then as catechists in this method. So I get to work with children, but then I also get to work with adults in the same way.
What a joy.
It is such a joy and such a blessing. I often think it's not fair that this is my job, you know? Like, because it's this constant meditation on the great mysteries of our faith. And then even last Sunday when I was going to church, I'd spent the week meditating on the mystery of faith with some fifth graders. And it just enriches my own experience. When I hear the priest saying the mystery of faith, I'm thinking about what I've heard, what's been echoed back to me about that mystery from these beautiful children. So yeah.
Well, I mean, we're told to come as children, right?
Yes. And constant meditation on what does that mean, that invitation from Jesus, unless you become like little children. So I'm blessed that I get to see that all the time, and that earnestness, that purity, that joy at discovery. And that's what we foster. Yeah.
So we have about 25 parishes now in the Columbus Diocese that have the atriums, primarily in the parishes. Is this happening on Sundays, or when does that take place?
Yeah, it varies. We have atria that are in...
Atria.
Atria.
It would be the plural.
Okay. Yes.
Dave's learning so many words today.
Duolingo. I credit Duolingo.
There you go.
Sorry, Kathy.
No. Yeah, about 25 parishes have it, either in the parish for their PSR program or in their schools. I work at St. Mary's in Delaware now, and I actually am a catechist in their school programs for their school children, and also in the afternoon for the PSR children. Sometimes it's done on Sundays, as you mentioned. At St. Mary's, they have their PSR 3 weeknights a week, so from 4 to 6 in the evening. So there's choice for parents to fit in their busy schedule. So it can be done in many different ways, yeah.
Can you have an atrium in the home?
Yes. In fact, it's quite popular among homeschoolers. They come to find out about this method, and they want it for their children, too. So we actually started with an atrium in our home before we were able to move it to the church. It can be a very beautiful way to enrich family life and raise up the domestic church, as well as being part of the parish.
Kathy, what might that look like in the home?
Yeah, so there are these hands-on materials that you would have available for your children. So maybe a couple of shelves that would have hands-on materials that would show, for example, the Annunciation. You'd have a tiny little house and a figure for Mary and a figure for the angel Gabriel. And then usually it's a handwritten scripture book. Handwritten is important because the adult has to prepare this book, right? And so that's my meditation, my work, to really think about the scripture. But then handwritten because it's easier for the children to read and maybe inspire them to copy. and then they don't have to find it in the Bible. Interestingly enough, we use the actual adult Bible. We don't use a children's Bible because we want the children, this is all aimed at a deeper life in the church. Mm-hmm. We want them to go to church and go, ah, I've heard that before, right? So not a children's Bible, but the actual words they'd hear at Mass.
That's pretty cool. I mean, what I'm thinking is then that inspires their own imagination, right? I mean, when they're doing their own lexio on on the words,
exactly.
Then it forms this imagination and allows the Spirit to work.
Yes, exactly.
That way.
And it's very much like what you do with the gospel every morning here. You know, you read the gospel and you say, well, what did you hear? And each of you hears something different. And of course, as the catechist, I have a goal that I want to lead the children to, but I'm not teaching in the classical sense of teaching, like I'm not lecturing at the children. It's much more asking questions. So I ask wondering questions to lead them to whatever the doctrinal content is. But I'm also very open to, you know, what touched you today? What touched you today? And I will tell the children, oh, I've never thought about that before. Thank you for that, you know. And
The words, Kathy Iohanni, from, we're talking about Catechesis of the Good Shepherd. You had described it as a drawing out rather than a pouring in.
And I
also would imagine the dinner table in the evening. So with some of the conversations that these children are inspiring their parents to have.
Yes.
The insights that they're providing.
Yes. Yeah. In fact, sometimes they'll, just yesterday, one girl was saying, well, I was trying to explain this to my mom. You know? Yes, go for it. So, which is so
the Trinity?
Beautiful.
Was she?
No. Epiclesis, she was trying to explain.
Oh, my
gosh. She said, I can't remember the word, but you know that gesture? I couldn't remember the word. And I said, epiclesis? Yes. So, you know, just that.
How old is this child?
She's in fifth grade, but that's something we present to the three-year-olds because, you know, they can't, in Mass, they can't clue into all of the words, but the gestures of the priest speak, right? Mm-hmm. And so they can see, oh, there's a great gift coming down in that gesture of epiclesis. So, so she said, I was trying to explain this to my mom. What was that? And that makes me so happy because the children are becoming little missionary disciples. They are, have a sense of their own purpose. Like they can teach their parents something. They can talk about what happens outside of that atrium classroom.
I can imagine them, their attention now at Mass, because the Catholic faith is so sensual.
Right.
And for them to notice the gestures and everything that's happening around them, you know, there is no wasted word or no wasted movement. And for them to take all this in.
Well, think about how enriching and how we're able to really dive into the Mass when we just have a greater understanding of what's actually happening. Mm-hmm. And so if you could start that at an earlier age, how beneficial.
Right. And just for them to feel as though the Mass is for them, mm-hmm. you know, like that they can really participate in that at their own age and their own level. Well, speaking of that, yesterday I was doing a meditation with another small group on the healing of the centurion servant. And we're all reading it from the Bible. But when it gets to, Lord, I am not worthy, you know, a couple of them, their bodies just tense up. And that's what's beautiful about children is that it's not just what they say, but they are embodied. You can tell, you know, and they were like, I know those words. I know those words, you know, and it was just this beautiful reflection on, well, why would we say those words that a Roman soldier said long ago? Why would we say them?
At the Mass.
Yes.
Lord, I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof.
And only say the word and my soul shall be healed. So we probably talked for 15 minutes about that. And then it came back up in their prayer time at the end that one little girl said, he knows we're not worthy. And that's why he comes to us, which was just so beautiful.
Yes.
Right? I know. That's what I feel like every time. I'm like, okay, don't cry. But they'll be like, are you? No. I'm not.
Allergies.
Yeah.
Allergies. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. It's beautiful.
So Kathy, this was begun all the way back in 1954 in Rome.
Yes.
Was John Paul II aware of this? Do you know?
Yes. In fact, there's a classical picture of him visiting the Rome atrium. And just, you know, his hands are kind of in front. He was such a humility, right? And the children were showing him how they moved the sheep in the Good Shepherd. And
I could just like imagine his heart exploding, but he's just like,
so present.
Yes, yes. There have been many bishops and priests who have come to the atrium or even gone through formation. And it's just beautiful. But yes, he was a proponent of the atrium, so of the catechesis of the Good Shepherd. So yeah.
One more reason to love JP too. Huh?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Like we need them.
Yes.
You know, in the way that it's been described, you know, the children have the atrium and their projects. You also had mentioned maybe there's a freedom, but with limits. What does that mean, and what does that look like?
Yeah. So. Within an atrium session, the children have what we call work time, not free time, but work time, which is, you know, probably all of us would think of that
ora,
as free time.
Ora et labora, yes. Like for the little monks.
Yes, yep. Yes. It's that monastic thing. But their work is to process, to grow in their own covenant relationship with God. So they will have a lesson with me. Small groups will be called for a lesson or a presentation, which should be a springboard to other work. And then they'll go off and do their work, and I'll get with another group. And so there's always something happening, and then the end will gather, and there will be a time for sort of compliments, you know, sharing their work. So there's a little evangelization there, and then that prayer that they lead. But it is really beautiful to see the variety of things that are coming out of their hearts. Mm-hmm. You know, somebody loves to journal and will just write, you know, and then someone else, I had this little boy, we were talking about the armor of light, which is from Romans. And we've been talking about that all Lent. And he wrote a chart that said armor. And he drew a little picture of armor, and it was on one side, and he put an X. He said, you know, you think that it means this, but it actually means, and he drew a heart, and he said, God is in you and the light is Jesus, you know. And it was just, that was his work, was to draw this chart and think about that. So there is, as you said, that monastic kind of work, because in the monastery, the work is also an opportunity to be praying while your body is moving. So again, we think from the hands to the head and from the head to the heart, all of that together. So.
Oh, and then this sounds like it really helps them to just develop maybe the way that they would naturally learn. Just like you said, one maybe would process it through journaling, another through drawing a chart. And so really they're getting such great formation of building the way how they process the world, how they learn, how they produce.
Yes. Yes. So it can be tailored to the way that God made them as unique, unrepeatable human beings, which is so beautiful. And it's also impossible to be passive, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that that's a really important thing. I think back on my own formation, and sometimes people were just talking at me and I was passive, and right. You can zone out. But if you've got work time, and if you have an opportunity to share whatever work you did, if it was a big, you drew a map of the Exodus, or, you know, you made a big poster with a friend or something like that, you're not going to be passive. And I think our church needs active Catholics. No, we can't be passive, right? So I hope, as you say, Amanda, this is like starting them on that path of being confident in their own abilities and the way that God's made them. We have a phrase we use with the older children. It's called the blank page. And that means like there's this history of salvation, and it's in the Bible, but the history continues, right? And so each of us has a blank page. And just yesterday, I pointed to a material and it had a blank page on it. And I said to this this young boy, I said, well, what is this? And he said, well, you know, an author writes a story. And I said, well, who would the author be? And he just smiled so big and he pointed to himself and all of his classmates. And I said, who writes this with us? And he said, God writes it with us. Aww. You know, so it's this beautiful opportunity for them to think about their personal mission. You know, what do they have to bring to the building of the kingdom? So
we're talking about Catechesis of the Good Shepherd with Kathy Yohani. The national website, friends, is CGSUSA. So CGS, Catechesis, Good Shepherd, USA.org. To contact Kathy directly, it is Central Ohio CGS at gmail.com. What's a good first step for our friends who want to learn more, just to get started or just to get more information?
Yeah, if they would want to email me, I have some flyers and posters that are kind of informational that I could send out to them. And then I, if they wanted to go beyond that, the best way to understand it is to go and observe in action, mm-hmm. you know, to see what this looks like in action. And so I would be happy to be in contact with anyone who has further interest. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How, and sorry if you had mentioned this earlier, how active are our parents? So even if this is, if the atrium is in a parish, how active are the parents in the actual groups?
Yeah, I think the parents appreciate what their children are bringing home, and then we as catechists try to communicate with them. Mm-hmm. At St. Mary's, we take a little picture and tag it, and the picture, then we put a link to the lesson that we've given to that individual child. And, you know, parents are so busy. Like, if you send them a picture of yeah. their child, that's interesting. And then they can just click on the tag of the picture of the lesson, and it'll tell them what it is, three short sentences, what it is, why we do it, and how to help at home. And we're really trying to grow in that area. And I think in our diocese in particular, there's a recognition that the family really is the locus of catechesis. So we're supporting that. And so Catechesis of the Good Shepherd is really trying to grow in establishing those links. We have this beautiful program worldwide. It's in 64 countries now. It's used by many religious orders. Mother Teresa's order, this is exclusively what they use all throughout the world, which is pretty cool.
Wow.
But one of the areas that we do need to grow.
One more reason to love the missionaries of charity, right? Isn't it?
Yes, yes. So think about that. The same sort of materials and lessons that someone gets in the suburbs in Columbus, they're also getting in an orphanage in Calcutta, right? Mm-hmm. How beautiful is that, that our church has good things to give to everybody, right? No matter where they are, in the church, in the world. As you were saying, this is an area that we're trying to grow in and strengthen those links, you know, with parent pages and explaining things to parents. And then a lot of the catechists that we get coming into the program come from that. My child was saying these things and I want to know more about it. So so then they end up coming to catechist formation, which is beautiful.
We have just about 3 minutes left, Kathy. Any stories of alumni of Catechesis of the Good Shepherd?
Ah, wow. That's a great question. You know, we do have a national journal that we publish once a year, and we mm-hmm. always try to highlight. We call them ex bambini because of the Italian roots of this program. And so we always try to highlight, you know, a little story every year
yeah.
of one of the ex bambini. A lot of them end up becoming catechists and then bringing their children in the program
nice.
If it's been around that long. Yeah, and being active in their church, whatever their particular gift is, musically active, you know, if that happens to be their gift or,
Good. Kathy Yohani, thank you very much for being with us. The national website, again, friends, is cgsusa.org. Central Ohio CGS at gmail.com is Kathy's email address. I'm sure if you just type Catechesis Good Shepherd into a search engine, you'll get where you need to go.
Mm-hmm.
So it was fresh strawberry cake right from Bailey's lips.
That's true.
So that mystery has been solved. Kathy, this was, I'm sorry, we're out of time. This is a great conversation.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for being with us. Tomorrow here in the cafe, we're going to be joined by Gabe Vance and Father David Sizemore. So make sure you join us tomorrow at 8. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now and ever shall be, a world without end. Amen.
Amen. God love you all. We'll see you back here tomorrow at 8.